If you've been following the show for the last 7 or 8 weeks, you would have known that we are on a weekly basis giving you updates on a fascinating documentary podcast series that is online. It's called They Killed Dulcie. It's about the assassination of anti-apartheid activist Dulcie September. She was at the time the most senior female activist, ANC activist in Western Europe at the time, and in 1988, five bullets ended her life in Paris. And this particular documentary podcast series tries to unpack and maybe even discover who could have been behind the murder, the assassination, the elimination of Dulcie September. Rasmus Beats joins us now. He's from Sound Africa. He's working in collaboration with anti-corruption advocacy group Open Secrets on bringing you this documentary. Rasmus, it's been a very, very interesting last few weeks, but I must admit, with elections getting in the way, I think I'm still stuck on episode 5. But that's the whole thing about podcast series. You can go back and listen to it again. But tomorrow is the finale episode that will be released.
Yes, it is. At least it is for now, because we are holding the opportunity open that if something happens, if there's a development in the case, that we'll come back and revisit. And the interesting part is that that might actually happen. What appears to have happened since we begun the work on this is that there is sort of a very sort of moderate but still like a Dulcie moment, and tomorrow's episode goes into that and looks at some of the people that you know are actually still doggedly following the case and are you know have decided that they are not just going to let it slide and accept that there's no answer here.
And almost organically, there is a movement happening to get particularly French authorities to reopen this case. Do you think that has happened all independently, or has your research, has your investigation, your probing into this cold case, do you think that has spurred some movement in that regard?
I'm definitely not gonna take the credit for that. I think what's actually happened is that we are actually maybe part of a bigger movement in that case. I think we have seen it also in South Africa in the last like months, or maybe the last year or so, with changes happening also at the NPA. And you know, there are these like, basically, Dulcie's case is one of like many cases that actually were handed over to the NPA. But there is like a group of people that have been pursuing it since then, and Dulcie's case is part of that. And I think one thing is the legal stuff. The other thing is that there is also an urgency somehow, and I think a lot of people feel like if we are going to get answers to these many cases, Dulcie's just being one of them, we actually got to act now before the people who actually know anything about it are dead, to be honest.
And you're obviously referring to cases like the Ahmed Timol case that is already before the courts, and then also recently the family of Imam Harun, anti-apartheid activist here in Cape Town. They also wanting the NPA to reopen this case. Also, relatives of the Craddock Four also want that case to be reopened and people to be charged and prosecuted and brought to book. So you probably are right. You are part of a broader movement of activists wanting the perpetrators of apartheid era crimes to pay for their crimes. But tell us what's been happening over the last a few weeks. As I said, I'm probably at around episode 5. I found that there was some very, very insightful moments, especially on the role of women in the anti-apartheid struggle and that issue of patriarchy and gender imbalance, particularly in the liberation movement. That was quite insightful to me. What was it like going through and unpacking all these stories when we hear of the anti-apartheid liberation movement, we get the sugar-coated, heroic version, only the good comes out. But going under the surface and finding out that, you know, maybe things weren't all that clean in the liberation movement, or at least not all that savory in the anti-apartheid struggle. Just what was it like uncovering that?
Yeah, you know, one thing that was sort of the thing about the patriarchy and the gendered issue was one of them. The other one is actually the episode after that, which is one that we call a bonus episode. But that's one that was quite personal to me because I'm from Denmark. And the thing is, the Dulcy podcast is a lot about all the arms dealing. But weapons that were bought abroad had to be transported to South Africa. And that was often done on Danish ships. I don't know how much you know, like, sort of about how Danish people see themselves, but, you know, I think we see ourselves as somebody who are sort of doing right in the world. We're generally on the good side. But actually, when you dig below the surface and you see your own nation being deeply involved in, like, dirty dealings and not actually being brought to justice for that, that's something that, I guess, at least for me, has changed my view in many ways of where I come from, but also of how actually history is told. The way we understand the past isn't necessarily how it actually unfolded, and digging below the surface can be sometimes a bit frightening, to be honest.
I just recently, on a similar but different point, I read somewhere about how Danes see themselves, but as soon as you mention sort of atrocities like, I'm using totally different wrongs. I'm thinking of Belgium.
But I'm sorry. Well, it's a similar situation,
yes. But tell us, what's coming up in this final episode of They Kill Dulcy, and what happens after that?
Yeah, so basically that's where we start looking into the TRC. What did the TRC find, and what happened when they handed over Dulcy's case to the NPA? And I'm maybe spoiling it a little bit, but I can tell you that it's not very much. But then we're also looking at basically taking a little bit of a status of today. You know, today with new parliament, all of this happening, like, where are we now? And one thing that kind of really shocked me about this whole thing is that how many of these actors that were deeply involved in these, like, breaking of sanctions and involved in the networks that Dulcy was investigating, how they are still operating today, but also very respectable and connected on the high levels. Like, one of the companies that we constantly come to find in the old records is what today is called Thales, and that's the same company, you know, that is along with Zuma in the court these days. But here's another fact about Thales. The French ambassador who we interviewed, and of course we cannot say that he has got any illegal dealings in his past at all, but he used to work for Thales right before he became the South African, the French ambassador to South Africa. And it just gives you the idea of how, you know, these networks are very much still around and actually haven't really accounted for what they did.
I think it's amazing journalism, and it's beautiful storytelling. Rasmus, just remind us and remind people out there, if they haven't been able to listen to this documentary podcast series, where can they find it?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. The podcast will stay up, and you can start on episode one now or in a month or in 2 months if you want to. It's all there for your listening pleasure. But you can find it on soundafrica.org, or you can follow Sound Africa on Facebook or Twitter or all the other social media. And there you'll basically be directed to the playlist where you can find all the work.
Rasmus Beatsley, he's one of the co-creators of the documentary podcast series They Kill Dulcy, about the assassination of anti-apartheid campaigner Dulcy September in Paris, France, in 1988. I really, really implore you to go out there and to go listen and go find out and learn a little bit more of this unsung hero of the anti-apartheid struggle, who finds or calls or used to call Cape Town her home all that time ago.